You know, John the Baptist was a friend of the bridegroom, but he wasn't a part of the bride. He died in the Old Testament, even though it was in the Gospels. So in Matthew 11:11, Jesus makes it very clear, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." John the Baptist was an awesome guy, gave his life for this truth. He was bold, told the king he was living with the wrong woman, and it got him killed. But anybody in the sound of my voice tonight is greater than John the Baptist, because the Bible says that we're a part of the bride. We're not a friend of the groom. And so I'm grateful to be living in the time that I'm living, but I'm also grateful for the mercy and grace that allowed me to be a part of the bride of Christ, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with his spirit. And now we have access to those things that every prophet in the Old Testament, every patriarch in the Old Testament just didn't have access to. We have an open door. Amen. We can get into the holiest of holies, where only one man could do that in the Old Testament. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight, and blessing upon your people tonight. God, every time we walk in this door, take some effort. Take some discipline. But the closer we come to you coming again, the more disciplined and committed we need to be. Bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I talked to someone after service who said, I just feel like I'm not doing anything for God. You ever feel that way? In fact, the closer we get to living for God, the more we realize that we're so far below where we should be. I remember going home from church on a Sunday night, and I was driving through Husher. There's a little tavern there, and as I drove past, there were two guys that fell out of the door just pounding each other. They must have had some disagreement. But after the fight, if you'd ask them, "Are you on your way to heaven?" they probably would have said, "Yeah. Yeah, I believe in Jesus." But you talk to somebody who just came out of a spirit-filled Pentecostal service, and sometimes we feel, I don't know if I'm ready. Because now we're comparing ourselves to God rather than man's version of what we should be. So would you turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter? First Corinthians 12, starting in verse number 12. Says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all of the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, having been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. How many have ever seen their kidneys? How many agree that the kidneys are very important in your body? Amen. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all of the members suffer with it, or the one member be honored, all of the members rejoice with it. Amen. Now we are the body of Christ and members in particular. Amen. We have been fitly joined together according to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We're come together like stones. We're all the same shape. We're all the same personality. But God has put us together to build a lively house, the Bible tells us. Have you ever felt it? If I weren't here tonight, no one would miss me. Hey, do I really count in this church? I have no position. I have no particular ministry. That applies to most people within the church. I wonder how many people even know my name. Sometimes you walk in and think, am I a part? Am I attached to the body? Well, those are all lies from hell. God not only does a roll call every service, but he monitors every thought and every act and every part of our worship. You are important to God, and you are vital to the church body overall. Every one of us are vital. There were years that I sat on a pew without any position or ministry visible to the rest of the church, but nevertheless, I had a role in the body of Christ, somewhat of a stabilizer. People knew that I was always early. They knew where I sat. They knew I was consistent in coming to church in every service, perhaps subtle, and in the background, encouraging other people. No ministry. 1 Corinthians 12 and 23 says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness or honor. You don't realize the importance you have, not necessarily in the eyes of people, but in the eyes of God. You see, God sees what you're doing.
Yes, he does.
I was telling Brother Bear before I pastored, every Saturday morning I sat at a desk. You know, I worked during the week, sat at a desk putting together a message, whether it was nice outside or wasn't nice outside. I remember everybody in the house had to be quiet because I needed to concentrate. God saw every Saturday. He saw the sacrifices I've made during that time, and I really didn't have much of a position. See, so God thinks very highly of those who don't seem to stand out.
Amen.
I hope you're getting what I'm saying tonight.
Amen.
Don't think you are less because you don't have some high-profile ministry, because that is not true. Just because you don't get recognized or recognition from the body doesn't mean that there isn't a spotlight from heaven shining right on you, angels clapping their hands for you because you're so consistent and committed. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Turn to Matthew 10 and 41. Matthew 10 and 41, the incredible scripture. Jesus said, "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." You realize when a missionary comes through here, an evangelist comes through here, we honor the man of God, even though he's doing all of the sacrifice, she's doing all the sacrifice, doing the traveling, doing the preparation. If we honor that individual, we have a right to the same reward as they do. Amen. Glory to God. When I was in high school, I went out for sports, and I got a letter which I displayed on a letter a sweater, and you were big cheese if you had a letter, you know, back then. And that's how I got my first date with my to-be wife. But I had a close friend that had a heart murmur. And while he could not go out for sports because of the heart murmur, he participated basically carrying towels and water for everybody else. Everybody told him what to do and what to get for them. He didn't get a lot of attention or even any kind of respect, but at the end of the season, there was this awards banquet. And at this rewards banquet, he was called up front and he was given a letter, and everybody went wild because of what he had done all season long. I think one day after the trumpet sounds, there's going to be some people who will be in the background, and they will be called up front, and there are going to be some angels clapping their hands for them, even though they've never had a position, even though they never got any kind of recognition from anybody in the church. God will have some special award at the marriage supper of the Lamb for them. You were consistent. I saw how you prayed. I saw how you reacted. As a pastor, I am many times more concerned about people who have positions in the church that they don't start to think that they're somebody. And that's why God gave Paul a thorn in the flesh. Because he gave him more revelation. He gave him more insight to things. And it says in 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Why? Lest I should be exalted above means. Amen. God's very cautious about not getting us to glory in ourselves, you know. Mark 9 and 41, Jesus said, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." Go out of your way to help somebody that needs help. You'll be called up front. There will be a reward. God isn't looking for another quarterback. Not looking for somebody to call the plays, you know, to be outstanding. Wow, we're going to get this service really moving, you know. No. We got to get God moving in the service. We don't do it. We create an atmosphere for God to do something great. And I believe he's looking for some dedicated water boys. I really do. Some insignificant people that will continue to be faithful to God, committed to God. You see, the value of the position is always based on who you get recognition from. Is it from people or is it from God? Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 41, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive the prophet's reward. So you don't have to be a pastor or a minister to receive the reward of a minister. Just give respect to the position. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I remember Brother Billy Cole saying, the people in Africa and Papua New Guinea, it's not that they love God more than you do here, but they have a greater respect for the ministry and a greater love for each other, you see. Not jockeying for position. I can imagine that one of the worst times for Jesus was at the foot washing, where all of the disciples were jockeying around to find out who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. It just stinks, you know. Turn to 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. Second Samuel 23, starting in verse number 15. And David, they were in a battle, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Incredible account in the Old Testament. In our scripture, David is in a daydream. You know, how many of us get to the point, oh, I wish it was like. He's at war with the enemy, but he's thinking about better times. When he was back at home as a child, he remembers the cool, fresh water, able to drink of that water from the well of Bethlehem, and long for the refreshing of the water, and perhaps longing for peace rather than the pressures of war. Isaiah 12 and 3 says, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the well of salvation. The enemy wants to steal our joy. If he can steal our joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. He wants to steal that joy from you. If something happens and wow, I just don't feel like I can go to church and worship God because of that. Well, if your joy is gone, everything else is gone. It wasn't just the water, but the joy and the refreshing that come with the water, you see. Have you ever been in the middle of a battle and you long to get to church? I want to get with normal people. These people are not normal. I don't want to be around them anymore. To feel the refreshing of God's Spirit, the joy of your salvation. David said in Psalms 42 and 1, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth or longs my soul after thee, O Lord. It's a natural reaction for the saint of God to say, get me to church. Get me to church. Why? Because when the enemy is after your soul, nothing covers up your scent like water and spirit. When we went into the water of baptism, I'll tell you what, the enemy could not follow us through the water because now we're different. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not everyone is willing to cross enemy lines for a fresh drink. Oh, they hear the stories of how refreshing the water is. Oh, it's wonderful. But are you willing to put your life in jeopardy? Are you willing to risk something in order to get a fresh touch from God? Are you willing to say to your family, no, you stay home. I'm going to church. That the waters of baptism will wash away our sins, but there's a battle to get there. I know it's right, but, you know, if I do this, I'll separate myself from other people who don't believe that way. Isaiah said in Isaiah 28 and 11, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing,' yet they would not hear." And Jesus said in John 3 and 37, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And this he spake of the Spirit. You see, if you want that kind of refreshing and washing away of your sins, then you have to cross enemy lines, most likely. It's going to be your flesh. It's our worst enemy. Your worst enemy is wearing your clothes tonight. I talked to a lady this morning that hadn't been here for a while, and she said, I had to force myself to come. Are you kidding me? You had to force yourself to come? You've been in this way for years, and you had to force yourself. You know who the enemy was? It was the flesh. It wasn't the devil. It wasn't the world. It was the flesh that says, no, you don't need, you've not been there for a while. It's going to be hard to cross enemy lines. If you want the refreshing that only living water can bring, then get ready to do battle. There's going to be a battle. And who is the enemy? Matthew 10 and 36 says, "And a man's foes shall be of his own household." Get ready to do battle with family, with friends, with co-workers, oh, and even yourself. Amen. You need to drag that carcass to church. Because if you listen to the flesh, you'll be lost for eternity. You know, it's get me to God. Why so much opposition over water? Whether we are baptized in Jesus' name, is that really important? Do we all speak in tongues when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? I mean, these are questions that we do battle with over and over and over again. See, the bottom line is this book. If you don't believe the book, then there's no sense in talking to you. There was a man here Wednesday night who wanted to tell me how I could get saved. And he didn't want to listen to me. He wouldn't even tell me his name. So why are you here? Amen. Everyone decides for themselves if this water is worth the battle. Crossing enemy lines with a possibility of losing your life. Because we really do lose the old life, but we get a new life that is so much better than the one we came out of, you see. Matthew 10 and 39 says, "He that findeth his life shall lose it." That's what Jesus said. "And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." This is a good life. This is a more abundantly. Anyone willing to cross the enemy lines to really get what God wants to give them? The king longed for the water from the well. He didn't issue an edict and say, "You better get me some water." David just referred to it as its refreshing value, you see. You know, sometimes the best way to get somebody to come to church is just to make them thirsty. You know what happened Sunday? Incredible. Did I tell you about this lady that was healed? Sometimes it's a battle to get into God's refreshing spirit. Three men put their life on the line to give the king what the king longed for. Are we willing to cross enemy lines to give God what he really longs for? He longs to have you in the house of the Lord. He longs for you to read his letters. He longs for you to worship him in the middle of the night. He longs for you to stand up for him when nobody else will stand up for him. You know, we get married, we have a spouse, and everybody else can abandon us, but the spouse says, no, I'm staying with you because of love. Do we do that for our God? Many people will only do what they are made to do or paid to do. How many's going to work tomorrow and the employer says, well, we can't pay you? You might change your mind. But God's army is all voluntary army. Amen. Everyone knows that the Philistines are known for their strength and their battle, their abilities. It won't be easy to get what God has for each and every one of us. But if we only knew the rewards of being a water boy, if we only knew what the smallest, the least of the saints had offered to them, if God could just pull back the curtain and give you a little insight of what is going to be available for us, then we wouldn't try to get by with the least. Amen. The value in warring for something that is free but costly to obtain. You see, salvation is free, but it's costly to get it. Someone here tonight may want to volunteer to be one of those three mighty men who went for the water. Peter was that impetuous disciple. He didn't think, he just responded, you know? Who was always seen with Jesus, but when Jesus was stooped to wash his feet, Peter said, oh no, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus replied, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part of me. Is it the limelight that impresses people in being one of the king's mighty men? No, it's not what we can receive from people. The notoriety, the hand claps, the look, the position you have. Amen. We can appear in public, but not in battle. Then you can't be a water boy, you see. I just want the position, I want the title, but I don't want the battle. We are too big to tackle small chores. I've been around here too long that I should do a menial task within the church. Does fetching water dampen our desire? I want to be used in the gifts of the Spirit, but I'm not willing to teach or help somebody in need. See, promotions are based on, will you do this for me when no one else will? Sometimes ordinary men do extraordinary things. The question is, can extraordinary men do ordinary things? I never want to get to that place where I can't bend down and pick up a piece of paper off the carpeting, where I can just get a bottle of water for somebody else. I find myself being the servant of every evangelist that comes in here, every missionary that comes here. What can I do in order to help you help us? Oh, if we could just hear the daydreams of our God. Lord, what is it that you long for today? I'll cross enemy lines to get what my king desires. What is my position in the body of the church, whether I'm an eye or ear or a hand or just a tiny blood vessel, I'm still in the body. And when one part is honored, we're all honored, folks. Hallelujah. We must serve in the capacity and the purpose that God has put us in, instead of saying, hey, God, I don't want to serve in this capacity. I want something else. The blessing is in the doing the small things that God didn't demand of us, going the extra mile. I know the law said in Rome you have to go 1 mile, but Jesus said, well, why don't you go 2 miles? And they give him your coat, by the way. God smiles at that. Do good unto those that despitefully use you. With swords clashing and sweat mingled with blood, there was a battle. It wasn't just sneak in and sneak out. There was a confrontation with the enemy because they wanted to please the king so bad. Three mighty men broke through enemy lines, lowering a pail into the water. They got what their king was longing to taste. They couldn't wait to present it to the king, David, what he had longed for. But David said, I can't drink this. 2 Samuel 23 and 17 said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went into jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Hallelujah. The man who understood praise and worship like no other. The man that's heart was after God's. An offering acceptable unto God. He poured the water out onto the Lord. He knew the price these men paid. He knew the enormous value added to the water because of the willingness of those men who got it. It was water too good for an earthly king, but acceptable for the King of Kings. Now listen, all week you've been in fierce conflict with the enemy of your soul. Just keeping your spirit right, your mouth shut, your mind's clean. Perhaps all this has made you weary. I don't know if I can go on. Will they miss me? Am I important? Problems with bills and jobs and family and sickness. I got up this morning, felt so bad. I had a cold in my nose, then it went down to my chest. Now it's up in my nose, and I'm not sure where it's going to end up next. Tonight is church night, but that bed sure looks good. Wait until you're 74. After all, who's going to miss me? I know somebody. You don't do specials. You don't play an instrument. You don't stand behind the pulpit. You don't have a teaching ministry. The most you do is just listen and say amen. Your voice is not great. Your contribution is very minimal. Why not just stay home? But somehow you just can't. There's something within you that says, I can't. It's not that you think that the service cannot go on without you, because it will. It's something inside that won't let you miss. And as you raise your hands and open your mouth to sing off key, heaven descends upon you. Because you brought the king something he longed for. Cares vanish. Gratitude fills you. And as the glory of the Lord intensifies, you wish that you had something special to offer. The best you can do is to stand and whisper a praise, and you see what you think is so minute, but God deems so awesome, because he's been waiting just for you to make his dreams come true, to just bring him what he's always desired, and that's you. You make a difference. Each and every one of us make a difference, each and every service, because that's why he went to Calvary for, to have a relationship with you. Not a part-time relationship, but a full-time relationship. Hallelujah. And if John the Baptist was the greatest man ever born of a woman on the face of the earth, and yet the least of the saints is greater than John the Baptist, you're in a greater position than anybody in the Old Testament ever had. Hallelujah. And when rewards are given out, oh, hallelujah, you're going to be shocked. You're going to be shocked at what God gives you when a whole host of angels stand and applaud. If the angels rejoice over one sinner that repents, how much more a saint that's lived for him for 40 years? Amen. I'm somebody. Not because of who I am, but because of whose I am. Would you stand with me, please? I hope you never forget this message. You're somebody. You have great value to God. And you cross enemy lines every day in order to get to a place where you fulfill the dream of our God, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?